listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on November 9, 2022, and is titled Testimony. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
But there's a lot of us as individuals that know better than that, don't we? There's a lot of us as individuals that have places of influence, and the first one is right at our kitchen table. I've been the kitchen table guy from day one. But as I go back and study American church history, and you find out that there was a day when things shifted and we began to solely preach to heaven. I heard it today. We're here to celebrate a life. We stand there and preach to heaven. And there's a whole kitchen table right here that needs ministered to. The living needed ministered to. For today. They didn't even need ministered to for tomorrow. They needed ministered to for today. Is that not correct? Why did the organization, why did the institution, why did Sunday morning, why did the program, why did the building, why did the music, why did all the trappings of our religion become the centerpiece of Christianity in America when it should have been your family? Yeah. You see, we all raised the next batch. But for our generation, we've kind of let somebody else do it. We kind of turned things over and practice them at home. If we've ever done anything right, look, the only reason I'm standing up here because I'll talk. And I'm pretty honest. So all my mistakes, all my stuff, you guys get to hear it all. We're the same as everybody else. We put our britches on one leg at a time. We know what it is to have a month left at the end of the money. We're finally older. Now we have a little money left at the end of the month. Praise the Lord. That one's more fun than the other one. Okay? Yeah. I can give you the biblical teaching as to how that works. At my house. Because I had to do it. At my house, I had to trust God. I had to hear from God. I had to see how do we do this at my house? And so when we got born again, we were living like, she was living perfect and I was living like a wild banshee. I mean, I was goofing and stomped out and wilder than acre of snakes now. I'm just telling you. But look. I've told you this 1,000 times, and I'm just going to go through some daily testifying because I want you to take notes and you say, whoops, that one right there I could have done. Or that one right there might pop up. And you start putting these things into practice at home. As soon as you can do it in front of the mirror while you're brushing your teeth in the morning, now try it on somebody else. And then here in a minute, there'll be another one standing there. Here in a minute. I'll tell you how this works after 20-something years of sticking your toe in the water and getting it stomped on. This right here, this is easy. Sail barn? Not quite so easy. A lot easier now than it used to be. I got Murph. No, really, it is. It's good around there. A lot of fruit around there. But we didn't know how to do this. But we believed in our kitchen table. It's my kitchen table that brought me to Jesus. I'd already been told about heaven and I'd already been told about hell and I didn't care. I didn't care because I couldn't see either one of them. It's the truth. But I knew the way I was living was going to be a bad result. So, when you got a whole group of people now in America that believe same-sex marriage brings a good result, somebody lied to them, but somewhere they've got to see the light that says, hey, we can't even reproduce. We can't be a union. The two can't become one. It's impossible. When you have a whole group of people that don't believe there's a creator. See, if we believed that there was a creator, then we'd know that the divine order of God was a fact. So if it's just fables and stories and church stuff that you learned while you were finger painting in Sunday school, what happened to mom and dad sitting down and saying, telling you kids, this is how this came to be. Let me show you how I know. Because this is a weed seed. And by the Creator's divine design, if I'll put it in the ground and give it a little water, come back in a few months and I'll show you what it looks like. It'll become fruitful and multiply. Someday when you find the mate of your choice, you too will become fruitful and multiply. Why isn't that the conversation? So we began to just practice things at home. Because we started out in an organization that really didn't tell you that much while you was there, other than they needed some more money to build another building. That was my first 3 months of messages after I got saved. We need more money to build another building. Went home one day and told Robin, I said, what's wrong with the one we got? I need to learn about Jesus. I just met him in the cab of my truck. I really don't need to build another barn. I need to know about Jesus. And so we just began to knock it out. And I sat down in my office. I went and got me a Bible and I started reading it. And then I bumped into the scriptures, John 14:26. He said, I'll not leave you as orphans, but I'll send my spirit, the spirit of truth, who will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I said. I heard God again that day when I said, do you mean that? And he spoke and he said, I wrote it down, didn't I? I asked it another time when I read in the Bible that God is no respecter of persons. I went to digging around to find out what that meant. And it meant that whatever God had done for anybody, he would therefore do for me. I was just crazy enough to say, does that include Peter and Paul and John and James and all them guys? You'll do with me what you did with them. Give me some of it. It's a bad move. Don't do that. You'll end up laying on a dead guy in public. But because God's faithful, he'll get up. Because he's faithful, he'll get up. So when we had youth group happened at 4 o'clock every day. I'd have the rope and calves pinned and the horses saddled. We'd pray before we practiced. We were having a bad time. We'd pray, and I didn't know that much scripture then, but what little bit I know, I'd kind of use it around there wherever I thought he'd kind of fit in. We had sick horses. I finally started laying hands on them. But here's what happens when you do it at home. You'll find yourself sitting at a High Plains Junior Rodeo and a little girl will run in the stands because she saw the board of directors praying up on the stands for that association and for God to intervene in their lives while we live our everyday lives doing what we do. And she said, Barney's colicking. He's lathering like no other horse I'd ever seen lather, and I know a lot about horses. Me and two other guys run them. One other guy, we run down there and we put our hands on Barney. And with our hands on that horse, tied to a horse trough, that little girl standing there, I can give you her name. I can't give her her phone number, but I can tell you how to get it. She'll tell you today. While our hands was on him, he became absolutely dry. And he was healed. And she rode him in the next event. To the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We weren't having a church service. We were having a rodeo. You know why? Because at the rodeo, the family is the centerpiece. This became the centerpiece, and this is a pretty sorry centerpiece. And so all of our saved life, we've prayed with our kids. Are we perfect? No. Do I wish some of it was better? Yes. Do I wish I was better? Yes. But we are continuously a work in progress. Y'all have heard me talk about the Lord giveth and the feed yard taketh away. Well, the third time that happened, I'm talking about, I'm an enthusiastic loser now. I don't even, zero's not even a speed bump for me. Whoosh. I do the nosedive off the high dive, baby. Well, honey, let me tell you what just happened. And we get a phone call. We don't have no money left. I don't have no money left. Got two little girls running around there roping and rodeoing, doing their thing. We're serving Jesus. We're supposed to be blessed. Why don't I have no money left? Because I was biblically illiterate. The Bible will never tell you how to make money. It'll tell you how to keep it. I knew how to make money. I just couldn't sew up the holes in my purse. Yeah. My money program was a sieve with a hole in the bottom of it that big, and whoosh, is this stuff going here and going there. And I knew how to make up for it. She just, every time I went away for 2 days by myself, she'd get nervous that I'd done come home and started three new businesses. To start a new business to make up for the one that just lost my assets. But this time was different. And it was the last time. And I gathered my family. I didn't call the preacher. I didn't call the banker. I sure didn't call the IRS. And I just gathered my little family. And we sat down right there at the bar. And I put my Bible right in the middle of it. And I said, girls, we're broke. Not just a little bit either. Broke. Now, we need to figure out who we are. We'll figure out what we do, and we're going to ask God to show us how to do it. I had just enough money to buy four calves. One of them, I'll never forget, one of them had a big lump on his jaw, the other one had a limp, and the other one of them had a blue eye. They were cheap. But they'd run out that chute and let them girls of mine do what they're going to do. We all had the discussion. Can we afford this or can we afford that? I said, no, my Bible says that if I'll delight myself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. My desire is for my girls to do everything their heart desires, have the best opportunity that we can give them, and we know that our God will help us. And I'm sewing up the holes in my purse. We began the process at the house. Stuff that happens at the house. They don't forget it. They won't forget when Dad went to seminary for 2 years. Y'all didn't think I'd been to seminary, did you? Went to seminary for 2 solid years. 2 or 3 days a week, I'd get me a big jug of coffee and a big stack of cookies and go to the Tyler Street Resource Center, visit with 385 homeless people so I could figure out how to be Jesus. Took my girls. Probably the best Christmas we ever had. They'll tell you about it today. We made little goodie bags at home and everything shut down on Christmas Day. There's nobody. You got to sleep outside. Amarillo's cold Christmas generally. We took a pickup load of stuff and we went driving around. Here in a minute, I got a couple of homeless buddies of mine jumped back to pickup with my two little girls. I don't know how many of y'all have let your little kids ride around with homeless people, but we did. We'd already practiced. I'd brought some home with me. One time I brought one home, and Robin read to me out of the Bible, the Good Samaritan, said, look, I want you to read this. He left his guy at a motel. There you go, Reverend. He left his at a motel. But, yeah. And we sang and prayed and hung out with people less fortunate than us for an entire day. wasn't a bad youth program. I think they had a lot of fun doing what we did. We didn't focus on fun, really, but we're pretty fun people. They didn't have a whole lot of options because we're their parents. We took full responsibility for that. The greatest treasure that God gave us. They still are. But they're mine and hers, not somebody else's. A lot of parents sit in church every day and their kids didn't vote yesterday. A lot of you wouldn't even know how they were going to vote if they did. I do. We talk a lot. Now my little daughter that I used to school on all the time, she schools on me. Got over there this morning, going to give her my 2 cents worth while I pick the boys up, go to school, and she was ready for me. She had both barrels loaded when I come in the door. Oh, God, we have a lot of fun talking about that kind of stuff. Why am I telling you these little stories right at the moment? Because they're relevant. Because at every one of these little landmarks, and believe me, there's 10,000 of them, God spoke. And God gave us an option. God gave us a hope. God showed us what to do. And when we did it, it eventually worked out. It wasn't like fairy dust come down. We had to do the work. But it worked out every time. I'll never be broke again. Never. One reason I don't own any cattle. Half a dozen roping steers, and I'm good. I can afford for all of them to die on the same day, and I'll still make it. But we've learned some biblical principles, and we hear God. Not because we're special. Not because we're better than anybody else. I just don't know a better way to do it. But what I realize now is I don't think I've done a good enough job of conveying that message. And then maybe I've done better than I thought. Because you'll find yourself this very week riding around in a pen with a horse, another guy riding a horse, and me riding a horse, and we talking about what God was doing with our horses. Everyday life. And two grown men riding around by themselves with their boots and spurs on, crying like little weenies, talking about the glory of God, the presence of God, and how our Father in heaven, who guardians us, would move things around a little on the chessboard so that we could find our way just a little better, that he'd bless us in our everyday life. I watched God take a herd of horses in the last month, a small herd of horses, and move them like parts on a chessboard so that the right horse went to the right person at the right time. It brought a big blessing to my family and unity and peace and harmony, all that stuff. Blessed some other guys that were standing there wanted to participate. And God used this little mess of horses to just bless the socks off some people that was involved. We didn't have an altar call. We didn't even have our Bibles with us. We were just in the presence of God. That's it. And just listening and doing and putting the other guy ahead of ourselves. And there's testimonies every day. I walk in the sale barn yesterday to pick up sale catalogs. I thought I was running late. I hit the building at the same time there was a lady in a Tito wreck. And she's banging on the glass. I need to talk to you. Okay. We walk around there in the room and she's, ooh. She's got a mess. He said, I know you talk to God. Can you pray for me? How do you talk? How do you know I talk to God? I've never talked to you before. I didn't ask her. That's just running through my mind. Why would you pick on me? That happens every day. If we're all doing this every day, why is it not any different than it is? That's not what we're roping. And my little grandson banged his knee on the gate. He was kind of about trying not to have any tears down there, and I rode up, and he's rubbing his leg, and he's had a little problem there, and it's a bronc riding issue, and so he really likes to keep that as a memento to let everybody know he's been wounded in the bronc riding. It's good material for a story, and he loves to tell stories. So he's back there rubbing that knee. So we turn around, get the rope off the steer, and we're riding back up the arena, me and him just talking. I said, "How's your knee?" "It hurts a little bit, Papa." And I just leaned over, and I said, "Lord Jesus, would you just touch his knee that he wouldn't have any pain?" Just took my hand off. And I said, "You know, buddy, that's how we do it. How we do it." After a while, I said, "How's your knee?" "I think I'm okay, Papa. I think I'm okay." "You won't forget that." Are we that quick to respond? I mean, these are just everyday stories. I could teach you all the trappings of church tonight, and I just don't feel like it. I don't think that's what God wants today. Why am I telling you this? I don't care how blue this country gets. I have tremendous hope in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for today, for my family. That enveloping is what we've clung to for a long time around here. That we will dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, under the wing of the Most High. That whether 1,000 fall before me or 10,000 at my right hand, I'll stand. No pestilence will befall me. These are the words of my Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Savior of my soul, and the King of my kingdom. He's the centerpiece of my affections. He's the foundation of our lives. He's the only thing that makes our footing firm. The Word of God is the only lamp unto our feet that we know we're making the right steps. He's the voice behind me that whether I turn to the left or the right, walk this way. Everybody here's got a different walk. I tell team roping stories because that's what I do. And God's in it. What do you do that God's in it? If he's in it, can you testify to it? Is there evidence where people walk up and say, "I know you talk to God. Pray for me." That just started happening here lately when I learned them two things out of the Bible there about gentleness and kindness. Boy, howdy. That just being a grumpy old religious guy, I didn't realize how rough that was. Once you kind of get about half nice and smile a little bit, people come around and say, "Hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Would you pray for me? Would you pray with me? Would you help me?" I'm just about done, and then we're going to have some prayer time right here. But when I came back to the sale barn after my little road trip, December 3rd, 1995, and I met Jesus in the cab of my pickup, I heard his voice for the first time. No, I take that back. I'd heard him a couple more times before as a kid, but I didn't do anything about it. He's always been there. I just never did anything about it. That's the reality of it. He was never far away. I just didn't do anything about it. That night I did. When I get back to the sale barn the next week, I've been buying happy hour, first round of happy hour at the Holiday Inn from the day I started working there. Now I don't drink anymore. How's that going to work? And what the heck am I going to tell my buddies? You see, I've been at a high disadvantage for the last 27 years or however long it's been.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.